All right, please open your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Just kind of going through it, reading it again and again, and seeing what's there. And you always find something else. I'm sure I can milk 2 Thessalonians until I go on vacation. There's a lot there. All right, 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. And you thought we were just zipping right through the book, but here we are. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. And, you know, I know it seems like every other week I'm flip-flopping between Bible lessons, some that are kind of hard to receive and others that give you a warm, fuzzy feeling inside. But, you know, one week I'm telling you about the peace of God, and the next week I'm exposing your favorite Christian celebrity and warning you that you better love the truth or you'll be deceived by one of them. So one week you might think I'm a fairly nice fella, and then the next week you just think I'm awful. But you got to have a balance, and so that's what I'm going to do. We'll just work this thing back and forth, grace and peace and all those good things wherever we find it in our text, and then all that mystery of iniquity stuff that's at work, and we'll deal with that without pulling any punches as well. And we need a balance in our lives, and we need all the counsel of God. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse number 16, "Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. The salutation of Paul with mine own hand, which is the token in every epistle, so I write. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be," all right, "be," that's a present tense word, that's an ongoing word, that's a state of existence word. "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all." Amen. Heavenly Father, as we look this morning at your wonderful grace, I pray, Lord, that you would make it so meaningful for us and help and make it a help to us to have some grace also in ourselves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would, slip back over to chapter 1, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, just for a moment. Verse number 1 says, "Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace from our God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Now, let's see what we saw with regard to this. There is grace from the Lord Jesus Christ, and there is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and both are available to all believers, and I'm glad of that. Your situation this morning, your circumstance this morning, whatever it might be, if you're a believer, if you're saved, if you're a member of the church of the living God through the new birth, the grace from God and the grace of God is available to you today. Grace has been defined in many different ways by many different writers. Hymn writers, many of the hymns we sing speak of God's grace. As one says, "Plenteous grace with thee is found, grace to cover all my sin. Let the healing streams abound, make and keep me pure within." So there's two things there, maybe you noticed. Now the grace of God, biblically, is favor undeserved, gifts unearned. It is something far more than what most who teach and preach of grace proclaim. The hymn writer that I just quoted, he got it right. The hymn writer has the biblical view there. Grace to make me pure, Okay, when you get saved, your sins are forgiven, you're made pure. But he also said, "And grace to keep me pure." Now I thank God that all believers this morning have, in the moment that they are saved, they have received grace from the Lord Jesus Christ to cover all their sin. I'm also thankful this morning that every believer can obtain and receive the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ to keep them free from and victorious over that sin that has been forgiven. And the Bible holds out both of those to the believer. So we need to run some verses this morning to show you the difference. Ephesians chapter number 2 is the first one. Ephesians chapter 2, and then we'll go to Acts chapter 20. Ephesians chapter 2 and Acts chapter number 20. If you are saved today, you did not deserve it. If you are not saved today, you can never deserve it. The only way for a sinful man or a sinful woman to ever be saved is for God to bestow upon them something undeserved. The Bible says in Ephesians 2 and verse number 8, For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Nobody in heaven is bragging on how they got there. Nobody in heaven is saying, "Well, I did this. How did you do? How did you get here?" No, everybody in heaven got there the same way. They put faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And God, by His grace, gave them salvation from their sin. And praise the Lord. All right, Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, verse number 24. Acts 20, 24. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. That's the good news, the gospel that we have to proclaim to the world. You can be saved by the grace of God. I can tell a man who's lying in a hospital bed, who cannot go to church, cannot get in the baptistry, has no money to give, has no time left to do any good works. I can tell that man he can be saved because salvation is by the grace of God. You can travel to Africa and tell the jungle tribe. You can travel to downtown Kuwait City and tell that jungle tribe that salvation is by the grace of God. You can tell the black man, the white man, the yellow man, the brown man, and if you find a green man, you can tell him too that salvation is by the grace of God. Listen, nobody can earn it. If nobody can earn it, then everybody can obtain it. You understand that? If nobody can pay for it, then everybody can receive it. Salvation is a gift of God, freely given. I tell you, certain times of the year, you've got all this gift giving. And every ad you hear, every ad you read, tells you how much money you've got to pay to get the gift to give. Well, I'm glad that Jesus paid it all. I'm glad that God gives salvation to everybody that wants it without money, without price. No interest payments, no layaway plan, no interest free for 12 months, and then a big balloon kicks in. I'm glad it's free. It's the grace of God freely given. If you want to give someone a gift, give them the gospel of the grace of God. Tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. It may not be their favorite present unless they do receive it. But if they receive it, they'll come to find out it's the best thing they ever got in their life. Amen. All right. 1 Peter chapter number 1. So salvation is a gift. It's freely given by God's grace. Not only to get saved, but it carries with it just an incredible benefits package. Some of you, you get paid to work your job, and that's all you get, your salary. Well, that's better than not having a job and better than not getting paid anything. But some of you work a job and you get paid and you get some insurance, health insurance, and you get some retirement, and you get a company car, and you get a big bonus at the end of each year, and you get a paid vacation, and you get to take home some pencils with the company name on them. And there's benefits that come with some jobs, more than just the pay. Comes those benefits so that we say, man, this is a really good job. Man, in some jobs, the benefits are worth more than the pay. When you start adding up all of those things, you work 20-some years and then retire and you draw a retirement check, and you still get medical care all the rest of your life. And you look at that thing overall and you say, man, the benefits were better than the pay. Well, let me tell you something. Salvation, God gives you forgiveness of sins so you can go to heaven, not to hell. And that's pretty good, for free. But that's just the salvation. In addition to that comes all of these manifold spiritual blessings. And in the future, all of these manifold physical blessings. And the Bible says here, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. All right? So sometimes things are going to trouble your mind, aren't they? Be sober. Sometimes things are going to shake you up. And hope to the end. Sometimes all you can do is get through something. Hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The grace that is to be brought unto you. Now you can say, and I'm sure it's true when I say it, you can say, I'm just glad to be saved. I'm just glad to be going to heaven and not have to go to hell. And if God never did another thing for me, it would be enough. And that's true, isn't it? But you know what? He is going to do another thing for you. He's going to do another 5 things and another 10 things and another 100 things and another 1,000 things. And we could honestly say this morning, if God never did another thing for me, the grace that He bestowed upon me when He saved me is enough to praise Him for all eternity. And that's true, but He's not going to stop with that. He's going to seal you with His Holy Spirit till the day of redemption. He is going to lead you and guide you into all truth as you follow Him. He's going to catch you out of this world and into His presence. He's going to change your vile body and make it like His glorious body. He's gone to prepare a place for you in heaven. He's going to take you into a realm where there's no sickness, no sorrow, no pain, no death. and the former things are passed away. I mean, listen, everything that God created, he gave into the hands of his Son, and he's going to make you a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You say, well, if God never did another thing for me, I'd be happy. Well, that sounds great. And say it if you want to, but he is going to do another thing for you. And he's going to do plenty more for you. If you think it took grace to save you, and it did, and you think salvation is great because it came by the grace of God, you wait till you see what else comes along with that grace. Talk about a retirement package. when you've finished your course and you're done fighting the good fight, and the Lord Jesus Christ says the day of your departure is at hand, and he comes to get you, you wait till you see the retirement village that you're going to check into. It's going to be pretty good. I've read something about it in Revelation, and I'm looking forward to it. So not only grace for salvation, but grace in the benefits package that the Lord will bestow when he comes again. And then look at Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews 4. And then we'll go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Now that is grace from Jesus Christ. Now let's take a look at some of these things that are matters of the grace of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 4 and then 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Contrary to the blasphemous lies that are told almost nonstop on religious television and a lot of religious radio, salvation does not exempt you from life's troubles, trials, hardships, and difficulties as a Christian. You will not find anybody, I don't care how long you live, you'll not find anybody that can honestly say, I lived an entirely trouble-free life. In fact, oftentimes you'll find a godly Christian who loves Jesus, who loves the truth, who lives a clean, scriptural, godly life, and they're the ones who seem to be suffering the most. Now, who's this charismatic faker trying to say that a godly person like that is being punished because they're not living right? And, well, if they just had some faith and got right with God, they'd be as healthy as a newborn baby, even if they're 70 years old. I really doubt it. That's a lie. That's just not true. Some of you had Christian daddies and Christian mothers and Christian granddaddies and Christian grandmothers, and they lived right and lived clean. They loved Jesus, and they got sick, and they lingered, and they died. Salvation does not reverse the results of the curse in this life. It saves you from your sins. Hallelujah. But along the way, these troubles come and these trials come, even though we've received grace from God to save us from our sins, and grace from God to get us home to heaven. Along the way, we need the grace of God. You see, we need what God has as he deals with all of these things that go on in his universe, in his creation. I need God to give me some of that as I deal with what goes on in my little universe and my little creation. Now look what the Bible says, Hebrews 4, Hebrews 4 and verse number 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, God didn't give you all the grace he's going to give you when you got saved. Let me tell you something. Do you know what the Bible says? You are going to have needs for which you do not have grace prior to the arrival of that need. You are going to need help in situations for which you did not have sufficient help before the situation arose. Do you see that in this verse? I'm coming to the throne to get help because I don't have it and I need it. I'm coming to the throne to get grace because I don't have it. Now, you can say what you want. Your situation is different from mine. Mine's different from yours. So you can just say, well, your situation's different, and you don't know what you're talking about, so I'm not listening to you. Or you can listen to what the Bible says. The Bible says. I mean, a good example this week, Sister Ivy flew to the Philippines on Sunday night to attend her father's funeral. Sister Ivy did not have the grace to deal with her father's death before she had learned that he had died. She probably had seen other people go through a similar situation and thought, well, I don't know how they do it. I couldn't do that. I know I couldn't. But now she has to do it. So she can go to God and find the help and the grace that she did not have when she did not need it. But it's going to be there when it has to be there. Before this actually happened, she might have thought, there's no way I'll be able to handle it if my daddy dies. I'll fall to pieces and not even be able to function. But when the time came, God gave her the grace that she needed to get through it. He's still giving her grace right now today. She said that she even had a dream the night before he died that he was going to die. That's God's grace at work right there, preparing her for the heartache in advance so she could handle it. And she's going to be somebody that others can lean upon for comfort and for strength because she's got grace from God that some of her unsaved family members are not going to have. And God can use that so that she can reach out to her family members and tell them about the grace of God. You'll be amazed at what you can do that you thought you'd never be able to handle when you can go to God and say, God, does Jesus Christ have grace for this? Does Jesus Christ have help for this? And he does. And he'll give it to you. And we've got this idea that if somebody doesn't just totally fall apart, that means their situation must not be that bad. And if somebody doesn't go all to pieces, their situation really wasn't as tough as ours. I'm telling you, it's not too tough for the grace of God. It's not too hard for the grace of God. It's not too dark for the grace of God. It's not too heavy for the grace of God. And he has the grace you need when you need it. And if you never need it, well, I guess you'll never know about it. But there's something coming up in your life. And you look at somebody else's situation, you might say, well, I could never handle that if that happened to me. And right now, that's true. You couldn't because you don't have enough grace for it. You know why you don't have enough grace for it? Because you don't need it. You say, well, I don't know if God would help me with that or not. You know why you don't know? Because you've never had to get his help in that situation. But when it's your loved one, when it's your family, when it's your money, when it's your health, when it's your church, when it's your ministry, I'm telling you, if you will go to the throne of grace, what you need, God has it. What you have got to have to rejoice evermore, God has it. and what you've got to have to keep praising His name. God's got it. Think about Aaron in the Bible. He walked out of church one day and God had killed two of his sons for burning strange fire before the Lord. God said, go out there, take my side in this and show the people my grace is sufficient. You say, man, that's hard. I don't know how he could handle something like that. You know why? Because you never had to. And you look at people in this room. Possibly some have lost spouses. Some of them have lost children. Some have lost parents. Some have lost dear loved ones. And they're going on for Jesus. And you look at them and you say, I'm amazed how strong that man is. I'm amazed how strong that mother is. I'm amazed how strong that widow is. I'm amazed at how strong that widower is. I'm amazed how strong those children are. Well, be amazed. Be amazed at how strong the grace of God is. That's why they're able to do that. Now, I'm telling you, there is grace to help in time of need that you know nothing about until that time of need arises. And when it comes, there's no explaining to anyone else how the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ gets under you and just bears you up and gives you what you never had before. And when that trial and that situation is over, God just kind of eases that thing off, backs off that grace, just gives you what you need. Praise His name for that. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul has a thorn in the flesh. He prayed 3 times for God to heal it. But you know Paul, since he didn't have enough faith, and because he must not have been living right, he had to keep that thorn in the flesh, right? It's just too bad Paul wasn't as great a Christian as Oral Roberts and the rest of those perfect Christians. Poor old Paul just didn't have enough faith to get healed. You know I'm joking. The Bible says in verse number 9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now we quote that verse quite often, but I want you to get these words. Not that God's grace is sufficient, because everybody says that. It's kind of like peace on earth, goodwill to men. That's only half a verse. It's the whole thing is glory to God in the highest. Then you can have peace on earth, goodwill to men. Now this here in this case, this verse doesn't say God's grace is sufficient. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. It's personal. Your need, Paul, in this hour, my grace is sufficient for thee. That's what you've got to understand. It's not that God's grace is sufficient. It's that God's grace is sufficient for you in your trial, in your trouble, in this hour, right now. That makes a big difference. Maybe you're not like me. Many times I've prayed and I've said, God, I know you can do this. I know you have done it before. I know that you do this for thousands of people every day. I just don't know if you'd do it for me. Hey, I'm no spiritual giant, you know. I've asked God for things. People say, well, name it and claim it. I don't have that liberty. I don't always know what the perfect will of God is in every situation of life. But I know this. God's got enough grace for me to keep doing what He's told me to do, with joy in my heart, with hope for the future, despite that thing that he allowed to come into my life. There's grace. Not just saving grace, but victory grace. And thank God for it. Where would we be without needed grace? All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Here's some more grace of the Lord Jesus. Not just from the Lord Jesus, Second Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 6. Insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. How do you get saved? By grace. How do you finish? By grace. Verse 7. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, and utterance, and knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Look at verse 19. And not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us, with this grace, which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord and declaration of your ready mind. Look at chapter 9, verse number 7. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. So there's a connection between grace and giving, isn't there? Hopefully you see that. Now, everybody that's saved doesn't continue to trust God, rejoice in God, serve God when trouble comes their way. Why is that? Because they have grace from God that got them saved, but they fail to obtain the grace of God, and so they falter in these times of trial. Now, in this passage, there are people around the world who need the gospel. The people at Corinth, those believers, have the means. They have the money to send missionaries and to build churches in those regions beyond Corinth. Will they do it or will they not? It will depend on whether or not the God who saved them by grace is allowed to impart the same grace to them that he bestowed upon them. Jesus Christ was given as the example here. Jesus Christ is rich. He's Lord of all. He had enough grace to abandon that, come to this world, to be born in a manger, take upon himself a body with no form or comeliness, be nailed to a cross and die so that we could be saved. He got nothing out of that. He gave up everything so that we could obtain everything. That is grace. And we say, thank God for His grace. All right, so now He wants to bestow that grace upon us so that we are willing to give up everything so someone else can know salvation and the forgiveness of sins. It doesn't take any grace for a millionaire to give $100. It doesn't take any grace for a middle income family to give their 10% and then get their tax write-off. It takes grace to ignore your own well-being, materially, physically, for the spiritual well-being of others. And you know what the Bible says? It says right in this passage we read that it's not a commandment. You are not commanded to care more about lost people in Zambia than you are about buying yourself a new smartphone or iPad. It's not a commandment. But God has enough grace to make you willing to give so others can be saved than to spend on another toy or another trinket for yourself. See, it's not a commandment. It's not a law. It's a matter of grace. God, give me the grace to be poor materially so others can be rich spiritually. That's God's grace. Jesus gave up gold streets and mansion houses for a carpenter's shop and spit in his face, so that you and I could stand this morning and brag about and rejoice in not only our salvation, but the fringe benefits that come along with it. And we say, thank God for His grace. Well, that's grace from God. How about the grace of God? Lord, I'm willing. Or, Lord, I know I'm not willing, but I want You to make me willing. God, I want You to give me the grace to live poor, to eat poor, to dress poor, to know poverty, if that's what it takes to keep people around this world from dying in their sins and going to hell. Just because you're saved by grace doesn't mean that you care whether or not anybody else goes to hell. It's hard to even think about it. Again, not just our society and the world, but the voices we hear in our religious or in our Christian community. 24 hours a day, they're saying, why, whatever you do, you need to get rich. Well, that doesn't require any grace. Who wouldn't want to get rich? And then once you get rich, you can use your riches to get richer. And then when it's all done and you die, your kids can fight over it. Or you can say, you know what? Thank God He gave me this talent, this ability, this income, this opportunity, this upbringing in a good family, in a good nation. Now, Lord, give me the grace just to get by in this life, to provide comfortably for my family, and then pour the rest of it into the salvation of sinners around this world. Say, well, do I have to do that? Well, if that's your response, you're not going to do it anyway, whether you have to or not. So I'm not even addressing you at the moment. No, you don't have to. It's not a commandment. It's grace. It's the grace of the Lord Jesus. Though He were rich, yet for our sakes He became poor. See, that's grace. In Acts, that's what it's called. You know what they called the offerings that were carried from Corinth to those mission stations? They were termed this grace. Grace actually became a noun. You know what that grace was? It was coins. How about that? Did you ever wonder, you ever think about, I know my wife has thought about this, she's mentioned it before, but did you ever wonder what would happen at Christmas time if everybody gave all that money to Jesus on his birthday instead of to other people when it's not their birthday? You ever been to a birthday party where everybody brings gifts and they all exchange gifts, so everybody gets a gift except for the person whose birthday it is? What are the people celebrating at Christmas time? Jesus' birthday. What does he get for his birthday? Nothing. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter number 2 and verse number 11. I don't have any reservations about preaching on giving. We don't do a survey in our church to find out what your salary is so we can make sure you're putting enough money in the offering basket every week. There's no envelopes on your chair so you can write down who's putting money in the envelope. You're not going to get an email from me urging you to give more. I work to pay my own way. So nobody here is after your money. I'm telling you the grace that saved you can operate in your life. And the principle of saving grace that got you out of hell and into heaven, if it was a work in your life, it can work to get other people out of hell and into heaven through the money that you donate to missions. And that's the most important thing. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness, all right, so that's what grace is interested in doing, and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. All right, here we go. Saving grace, benefit grace at the coming of the Lord. Talked about those. And then the grace of the Lord so you can live like a saved person is supposed to live. In the meantime, that's the grace of God. Now, I don't know. I don't know who's saved or who's not saved. I don't know who's going up in the rapture and who's not. I know that all a person has to do is bow his head and call on Jesus to be saved. But I also know that a lot of people bow their head and call on Jesus and they don't get saved anyway. Because, well, there's a lot of reasons, but well, they don't know what they're doing, or they don't mean it, or they're not willing to repent, but they just want that free pass to heaven. I don't know. I know this. I know everybody that gets saved, if they're saved, there's a lot of saved people that don't live like they're saved. And it's not from lack of commandments, it's from lack of grace. See, when you start preaching righteousness, somebody says, oh, you're preaching legalism now. And you know why they say that? It's because they have no concept of the grace of God. The grace of God. Listen, the grace from God, that saves you. Okay, the grace of God operates in your life to recreate the principle of living that saved you. Jesus Christ pleased not himself. He laid down his life to please his Father and for the salvation of others. If the grace of God operates in your life, you will not live to please yourself. You will live to please God, and you'll lay down your life for the salvation of others. It's just the way that thing works. These people all the time talking about grace, grace, grace. Listen, you know what they're talking about. They're talking about just the grace from God that saved them. But they know nothing of the grace of God that would recreate in them the life of a saved man or a saved woman. And that's why the prayer in 2 Thessalonians was not that you would have grace from God. The prayer was that you would have the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. People want to be saved by grace so that they can live in sin and not worry about it. Well, you know what? You can live in sin and not worry about it. All you got to do is find an iron hot enough to sear your conscience, and you won't worry about it ever again. You can go through life and you can say, well, I got peace about it. But the grace of God will teach us how to live a holy life, teach us how to live a godly life. And I'm glad of that. Go to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. Grace in operation long before the law, here in Genesis chapter 6, verse number 7. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. You know, biblically, grace is also, and I'm showing you one example right here, grace is a favorable impression made upon another, and in this case, God. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God's looking around. He says, this is horrible. I'm going to destroy this. I'm going to destroy that. I'm going to destroy. In fact, I'm going to destroy it all. No. Wait a minute. There's a just man. There's a man who's upright in his ways. I'm going to bestow upon him a special measure of grace that's not available to those who are not living in such a fashion. Will God save anybody by grace? Sure, he will. Will God give everlasting life to anybody who would trust him? Sure, he will. Will everybody get the same reward? Not according to the Bible. Does everybody get the same blessings? Not according to the Bible. Does everybody receive the same thing at the judgment seat of Christ? Not according to the Bible. Now listen, if you and I get one little gemstone at the judgment seat of Christ, it will be because of the grace of God. But it will be bestowed upon us because we found grace in his sight by allowing the grace of God to have its way in our lives. Have you ever had the thrill of winning somebody to Jesus? Did you know that they were saved entirely by the grace of God? Did you know that you were able to win them entirely because of God's grace in your life? Did you know that you get rewarded for winning that lost person to Jesus? I don't get rewarded if I was sitting at home doing nothing while you were out there trying to witness. You understand? Okay. Now listen, nothing right would happen in our lives were it not for the grace of God. But you can certainly receive an extra measure of blessing and of reward and of grace if you will live in accord with God's will and God's purpose for your life. Every person I've ever won to Jesus is because I set out to win them. Now, were they saved by grace? Sure. Did I get to win them by grace? Sure, but I've never had somebody banging on my door at 2 a.m. in the morning, and I went and opened the door, and they're saying, "I've just got to get saved." Have you ever had that happen? Someone desperately coming to see you to find out how to get saved? Never had the world come to me so I could preach the gospel to them. No, I've had to go into all the world to preach the gospel. The Lord, by His grace, has shown me much from Scripture that I've used to win others to Jesus. He's showed it to me as I read it and studied it and prayed over it. Now, I wouldn't know a thing about this Bible were it not for the grace of God. But God bestowed that grace upon me as I obeyed Him and as I searched the Scriptures. Is there grace to help in time of need? If you come boldly to the throne of grace, is there grace to give? If you desire to make yourself poor that others might be rich, is there grace for reward? There certainly is. If you're willing to obey the Scripture and do what God says, see, grace from God saves you. The grace of God, well, that makes a Christian out of you. Let's look at John chapter 1. This will be our last stop this morning. John chapter 1, Gospel of John. I'm very thankful to be a beneficiary of God's grace this morning. Okay, verse number 12, John 1:12, speaking of Jesus. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Well, see, can you see how that's entirely grace right there? It's all grace. Verse 14, and the Word, that's Jesus, He's the Word, was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. See, He gave grace, but He was also filled with grace. What does God desire? He has not only given us grace, but He wants to fill us with grace. He doesn't just want me to be a recipient, one who receives salvation. He wants me to be a channel of blessing to others so that the grace that saved me can operate in my life so that in times of trial and trouble, I can still be a blessing in times of need. I can give and be a blessing in the service of God. I can dedicate and devote myself and be a blessing to God and man. You can, this morning, you can be saved by grace. You can have all of your sins forgiven and receive everlasting life, and walk out that door and go on living just like you've always lived. Die and go to heaven and get in on all the benefits of that grace. And I have to say that because it's true. That's grace from God. That takes care of your eternity. But Bible grace, it's bigger than that. There's the grace of God that will have you walk out that door different than when you came in. Keep you living different than you lived before you met Jesus. Change your life so that others can be saved. And that's the desire of the Holy Spirit. Not just the grace from God, but the grace of God at work in our lives. Did you ever know saved people who didn't seem to have any grace? Well, of course they did, or they wouldn't be saved. They had the grace from God, but not the grace of. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live. See, it's a way of living. Grace. Grace is a way of living. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. It's grace. It's all grace. But there's, I just hope you, if you get anything this morning, you understand there's more to grace than saving grace. There's teaching grace, there's living grace, there's enduring grace. And so that's the prayer of 2 Thessalonians. It starts with encouraging words, grace from God, and woohoo, you can get excited about it, right? I don't want to play that down, but that's how we get in on all of this. But he says, you know, my prayer at the end is that you'll have the grace of God, that you will live up to what God's given you. And so that's, I hope you know a little more about grace this morning than you did before. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your saving grace, the grace from God that we have received when we put our trust in Jesus Christ. But Lord, help us not to continue living the same way as we did before. Help us, Lord, to look for that grace of God that can work in our hearts, in our lives, and make us someone that can benefit you and benefit others. Help us, Lord, to be willing to put ourselves down that others may be lifted up and to be a help to others. Lord, help us to remember in times of trial and trouble that you have additional grace at the throne of God that you will willingly give us to help us through that time. But Lord, help us to remember to approach your throne during those times to ask for it so we can get through it. We thank you, Lord, that that's available to us as well. We pray for Sister Ivy, Lord, as she's enduring just such a time, that you'd give her that additional grace so that she can be a help to others as well and be a comfort to others. So, Lord, we thank you once again for your Holy Scriptures, for this lesson today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.